Let's give these boys a hand. I should say very mature men now joining me in the studio for the Maggie Dawn Show. My thanks to Bill Christensen, candidate for the City of Milwaukee Comptroller's Office. Evan Goyke, candidate for the City Attorney's Office, sticking with me for a little bit longer. And now also joined by Ted Chisholm, recently announced candidate for Milwaukee County Comptroller. Welcome, Ted.
Great to be with you, Maggie. And just one point of clarity, I'm up for Milwaukee County Treasurer.
Treasurer, what did I say?
August 13th election.
Comptroller on the brain.
It'd be nice if the show host could get the actual offices you're running for correct. Thanks so much for being here, Ted, and the correction. Corrections always welcome. Just wanted to share a little bit from the text line. An unnamed texter sharing with us, hey, Maggie, is this something that you can actually do? I was talking about having and hosting a candidate or a judicial forum here on the Maggie Dawn Show so I can actually, you know, pull a pin and lob a grenade or two and be sure we actually get into the good stuff. Texter continues, I know it would be incredible amounts of work, which I never mind doing, but the texter continues, it could be a new standard too. From your lips to whatever deity may be out there or not, ears. I think we need to be able to engage with candidates for these technical offices in a much more meaningful way. Candidate forums? What the hell is that? Debate with follow-up questions seems to be much more engaging. Jeff from Shorewood also saying, little shout out to you, Evan. He is from Shorewood. If he lived 10 blocks further south, he'd be voting for you. So Jeff from Shorewood,
thank you, Jeff.
Giving Mr. Goyke a hat tip. Before we get into the county treasurer's race, Ted, I just wanted to follow up with you, Evan. We were talking a little bit about some statements Mr. Spencer just recently made. Please share with the listeners.
Yeah, I think one that came out yesterday that's really upsetting to me. We each participated in a brief candidate interview called Coffee with the Candidate on CBS 58. And the journalist asked him about the toxicity, reports of toxic work environment. And he said it was toxic. It was toxic for me. That was the quote. It was toxic for me. And I think it's really frustrating when elected leaders don't take responsibility and you know, he's the head of the office. He's not a victim. He won the last election. I voted for him in that election. He was the victor, not the victim. And real leadership means taking responsibility. And if there were something, it's one of the things that's really been clear throughout this campaign is that he is unwilling to take responsibility. Everything that has gone wrong is someone else's fault. And that's how it's clear that things will not be improved if he's reelected, because it's just excuse after excuse. Everyone was out to get him and he's never held himself accountable. So we're going to do that at 8 p.m. tonight when all the votes are tallied.
I certainly hope so. I just want to lean into this. Many of the accusations of toxic work environment were very specific and particular. One, I think, deserves mention here on the show, and that was that after a gender-based harassment claim was filed formally by an employee, he effectively asked another one of his employees to write up, to attack, to provide what we call in the law pretextual reasons to paint the person who filed the complaint as incompetent. In other words, he sicked one of his employees on one of his own employees and said, make her look bad. That's toxic, Mr. Spencer. What you did is toxic. When accused of sexual harassment by numerous women in his office, his solution wasn't to apologize, say, I'm learning and I will do better. I understand I made you uncomfortable. My intention wasn't to do so. I'm sorry. I will do better. He didn't do that. What he did was issue a freaking dress code telling women how long their skirts could be, that their toes can't be out, that there can't be any cleavage. Who's measuring, Mr. Spencer? Don't wear any perfume. It's not the 1950s, so quit acting like it is, Mr. Spencer. And to paint yourself as the victim of the toxic workplace that you created is the height of self-absorption and the absolute last quality any of us want in an elected official. We see exemplars of the disasters that that kind of a mentality can wreak on a government in Donald Trump. You know what Donald Trump doesn't do? Never takes accountability. It's never his fault. It's always someone else's fault. We don't need a different version of Donald Trump in city of Milwaukee government. And I know, and I'm going to go where people get uncomfortable. Mr. Spencer happens to be a black man. I think there's been a lot of angst amongst those that know to criticize Mr. Spencer because he's the first black man to hold the position of city attorney. I think that is great that we finally got some diversity in leadership ranks in the city. Got the city's first elected black mayor. That's great. Milwaukee County's first elected black county. That's great. But it ain't great when you're incompetent and demonstrably so. We only elevate, and I can only be an ally when I can put my voice and my support behind you because you are not just competent, but doing a damn good job. And I'd be the first one to applaud Mr. Spencer and lend him my support if he was doing a good job. But I won't continue to be silent or support someone because of their race. We can do better. Milwaukee deserves better. And I know a heck of a lot of black lawyers in and around Milwaukee and that live in the city of Milwaukee that would do a damn fine job as city attorney. Certainly better than this guy because the bar is so freaking low, I can't even see it anymore. Hats off to you, Evan, for throwing your hat in the ring. Best of luck this evening. What are your parting thoughts and words for folks that may not have gotten themselves out to the polling place yet?
Yeah, thank you, Maggie. Let me just say that I hope that you hold me to that standard going forward. You know, if I can't meet it, then I don't deserve a second term if I'm elected later tonight. I do hope people go out and vote. It is just miserable outside and it was not easy. We were I had a very beautiful and memorable experience voting once we got in the polling place, but my son, who's almost three, was much more interested in puddles than polling, this morning. But anyway, look, I'm running because you said I was a nerd earlier and you're right. I'm just ready to get to work. I hope that we win tonight and then get to work tomorrow. It's a much more powerful and important office than people realize.
Yeah.
And we'll treat it that way. We're going to restore the culture inside the walls of the law firm, repair trust with our clients and with the people of Milwaukee, and do good work.
Thank you so much. That's State Representative Evan Goyke, current candidate for City of Milwaukee City Attorney. He has my vote. He had it this morning when I rolled into my polling place. Get out there and vote, everybody. Some humility, some accountability, and a service mentality is what we should demand of every elected official at every level. We should never allow people to elevate personal gain and personal advancement over good policy, over good public service. That is not why any of us ever got into this in the first place. And when folks fail at those fundamental tests, accountability, humility, and service to others as a first principle, we all do well to kick them the hell out of their offices. Mr. Spencer deserves to go. Evan, all the best. Thanks.
I'm
going to
go deal with my anxiety for another 5.5 hours. But thank you, Maggie, for having me on and for all you do. Good luck, Teddy.
Thanks much. You. That's Evan Goyke, candidate for City of Milwaukee City Attorney. I am joined for these next minutes by Milwaukee County Treasurer candidate. I'm getting it right now, Ted. Ted Chisholm. Welcome, Ted. Thanks for your patience. It's really my pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Maggie, and it's a pleasure of mine to be on the show. So excited to be here.
Wonderful. Ted, I think you caught the current treasurer by surprise when you announced your candidacy. Why do you think he was surprised?
Absolutely. Well, one of the fundamental issues with the Office of Treasurer in Milwaukee County government is that for years, it has been treated as a sinecure office.
And what does that mean for people that don't know that word?
Exactly. No. So essentially, a sinecure is a political office that's held without expectations of a lot of work being performed on the public's behalf. And over the years, the treasurer's office has unfortunately taken on that appearance. It's not an office that's commonly associated with progress, with engaged leadership, with bold reforms aiming to ensure that the core duties of the treasurer are being carried out in the most creative and innovative way possible. And so there hasn't been a contested race for county treasurer in a decade.
There hasn't been a contested race for Milwaukee County treasurer in a decade. Wow. Let's just observe that.
Absolutely. And so the reason I'm running, you and I, Maggie, are former colleagues in Milwaukee County government. I've served as a hands-on administrator, as chief of staff to former Sheriff Ernell Lucas, and as the senior administrator for management, finance, and strategy, overseeing budget operations, accounting, purchasing, and contracts for the Milwaukee County Clerk of Circuit Court's office. So I'm not running because I want to be a politician holding a sinecure office. I'm running because I want to turn the treasurer's office around and transform it into an engaged, practical, highly effective financial services agency that serves the interests of our community. So if you don't mind, I can just share briefly what the treasurer essentially does.
Going to be my next question. We just have about 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
So very briefly, tell everybody what the treasurer does, and then we'll come back with Ted Chisholm in just a moment.
Of course. So our treasurer has three core duties. One is managing day-to-day banking and accounts receivable operations for county government. The second is investing the county's surplus funds that are not needed for day-to-day county operations. And the third and by far the most public-facing is the collection of property tax delinquencies and the enforcement of property tax delinquencies in 18 of Milwaukee County's 19 municipalities. So every city and village in the county, excluding the city of Milwaukee, which has its own elected treasurer who oversees similar operations at the city level. So those are the duties of the county treasurer. And I'm running because I have the practical hands-on experience to lead the office in an engaged manner in its administrative duties, but also to be more proactive in working with folks to navigate the property tax collection process if they fall on difficult economic times and need a helping hand from the county to get through those periods.
It is a Byzantine process. We'll talk more with Milwaukee County Treasurer candidate. His election isn't until this November 5th, coming up in the fall. After these brief messages, you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. If you've got questions and comments about today's election day, who is on the ballot, or all these technical races that we hear about, you can give me a call or text 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in a moment with Ted Chisholm.
Yeah. 'Cause what he does so well, makes me want to yell. Let's give up the boy. Let's give the boy a hand. Let's hear from my baby. You know you gotta understand. Hearts like you wanted me.
Everybody, I think anybody running for an office should be saying, hit me with your best shot. I mean, we don't learn unless people ask us the tough questions and give us the tough feedback and criticism, right? That's how we get better. It's also how we test elected officials through this electoral process, and they should be willing to engage in the tough discussions, to answer the difficult questions, to engage in a debate with follow-up questions. Wow, what a novel idea. And listen, I don't particularly think presidential debates are worth much at all because of the highly negotiated format. And so it's more like a beauty pageant, like, oh, did somebody land a really punchy one-liner and the candidates can and sort of come up with all these zingers that they try to use. So I don't think it works well for presidential candidates. But I think an appropriately moderated debate for some of these local technical offices and judicial candidates would actually be extremely helpful. And I continue to be mystified by why this doesn't happen. You know, it's coffee with the candidates on CBS 58, and they ask them lame questions that no one follows up on. I mean, have you ever watched the BBC, Ted?
Yes.
Okay. Get real close to the mic too, so we can hear you. Well, or you can pull it up. Ted and I are both tall people. If you're there, we go. If you can't see us standing, but Ted, what are you, about 6'8", 6'10"?
6'7".
6'7". I overestimate. I'm 6 feet, so we got to make sure the mics are actually in our faces.
You guys have no idea how short I, Anya, the producer at 5'4", has felt today. I got to throw that out there for folks if we're talking height.
Well, yeah, Bill Christensen, guy who joined us a little bit earlier, candidate from City of Milwaukee Comptroller. He's real tall. Evan, if you're listening, not so much. You're not part of the tall club.
Evan's in the short club with me, and it's a cool, cool club.
It is a cool club. Anyways, Ted, have you ever watched BBC or other British reporters do interviews? They actually ask follow-up questions.
Absolutely. No, and that sort of discourse is critical, right? Because we need to hear from our elected officials what they're doing to serve our interests. And even in these kind of obscure, off-the-beaten-path offices in city and county government, which, despite their lack of public attention, have really critical responsibilities, we need to have more intense and more vigorous discourse surrounding each of those offices and what they're doing day-to-day to actually serve our community.
So I want to ask you, one of the first things that your opponent mentioned in the article when he was asked about your then just announced candidacy was he pointed out that you don't have a college degree. How do you respond, Ted?
Absolutely. And so without doubt, my path to public service has been a very unconventional one. So I began by being engaged in politics at a very young age. So I worked as a research consultant for a political consulting firm in St. Paul, Minnesota, worked with various political candidates in Minneapolis, St. Paul, City of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County. And over the years, what I came to really specialize in was policy development for candidates running for criminal justice offices. And so when Sheriff Ernell Lucas, someone that I had worked with, took office in 2019, he appointed me as his chief of staff to manage day-to-day administration, oversee policy reforms in the sheriff's office, which were greatly needed in the wake of David Clark's tenure as Milwaukee County Sheriff.
All hat, no cattle.
Exactly.
David frickin' Clark. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Bad memories, right?
PTSD is kicking in right now.
So, and after serving in the sheriff's office, where I managed the office budget of nearly $50 million, shepherding that budget through the county board year after year, I then stepped away from county government for about a year, and then came back in early 2023 as the senior administrator for management and finance in the clerk of circuit court's office. So I absolutely come from an unconventional background in public administration, but I'm proud of my track record, and I believe that record speaks for itself, not only in terms of the reforms that we effectuated in the sheriff's office, but also in terms of the work that I was able to be part of, working with Clerk of Courts Anna Hodges over the past year before I stepped down to run for this position. We really oversaw a turnaround in how the Clerk of Circuit Court's office managed its accounting and purchasing operations, really, really honing in to create greater controls, improving how we managed things like refunds, making sure that payments were actually made on time, and ultimately proposing a new budget to the county executive that actually cut out a lot of unnecessary spending while at the same time investing in really key initiatives to make the court system more accessible to the public. So I have that hands-on experience, and my hands-on experience is not as a politician.
Yes.
It's as somebody who's willing to lead, to work behind the scenes, and I'm proud of that record, and I'm ready to compare it with that of my opponent as we move forward.
I just want to take a pause here. I think, a parallel or a corollary to my criticism of presidential debates as a meaningful metric by which to select a candidate is matched only by my disdain for the sort of popularity contest elements, the personality-driven elements that we often find our electoral politics devolving into. Listen, I want to elect candidates that I like, that I'd like to maybe have a beer with. And that's all fine and good. But if I'm being really candid with our listeners, it ain't always the person who's the most fun to have the beer with that's the best administrator of complex governmental systems, that's the best at saying this isn't working efficiently. Often, the folks that won student council president aren't the ones that are in the nitty-gritty work. Sometimes they are, right? They're not mutually exclusive. But I think one of the challenges that we have is separating cults of personality and sort of tenure-driven elections from an analysis of whether or not someone is actually going to lean in and do what I call the nuts and bolts of the work that is required in many governmental offices and many elected offices. Ted, I think you have spoken well to your experience doing just that. With my last guests, I quipped that what we do ain't sexy, but it's nerdy, and I'm proud of it.
Absolutely.
You too, Ted. Welcome to, we should just call it like the Nerd Den or something. If you're listening, 855-75-CIVIC, tell us what you should, what I should label the like Nerd Den of the WAUK studio here in downtown Waukesha when we're doing the Maggie Dawn Show. Because we do a lot of the wonk, but it's in the wonk if we can share that in a way that people can understand why these offices matter and how they run, that I think we can start to transcend some of the partisanship.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And I mean, I readily acknowledge I am a boring person. I enjoy reviewing balance sheets and reading ordinances and drafting policy memoranda. Those are the things I enjoy. Those are things that I bring to the table too. And so if I'm elected treasurer, the commitment I can make to our community is that you're not just going to see me every 4 years as a name on the ballot. You're going to see me out and about in our community, hosting sessions throughout Milwaukee County to help folks work out payment plans if they've fallen behind on their property tax payments. You're going to see us reporting publicly about how Milwaukee County's revenue management systems work. You're going to see us engaged, active. You're going to see me at work, leading by example, working with the team of professionals in the treasurer's office as a hands-on, motivated, engaged, innovative member of the team, not just a manager. So that's what you'll see if I am elected and if I'm able to bring that sort of policy wonkish background to the table.
That's wonderful. We're going to take a couple of quick messages here and the farm update here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined by Ted Chisholm, candidate for Milwaukee County Treasurer's Office. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. You got questions or comments, hit us up. What should we call the Nerd Den here on The Maggie Dawn Show? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Be back with you in just a moment. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on this very blustery, cold, crappy, rainy election day, April 2nd, here in the state of Wisconsin. Apparently, we're going to get some snow overnight. Blech. I'm over it. It's April. Enough already. I am joined this hour by Milwaukee County Treasurer candidate Ted Chisholm. Don't look for Ted on today's ballot. Ted will be on the ballot this fall, November 5th, in the presidential election cycle. Ted is running for county comptroller, has been telling us all the things. County treasurer. It's been a long week and it's only Tuesday. Should have it tattooed on my head. Treasurer, telling us a little bit about what the treasurer does. Just a brief recap, what are the three main functions of the treasurer's office that you mentioned before?
Certainly. Ted? So the three main functions, number one is purely administrative, managing the county's day-to-day banking and accounts receivable services. The second core function is investing the county's surplus revenue that's not needed for day-to-day operating expenses. And then the third and most public-facing function is administering the collection of delinquent property taxes for every jurisdiction in Milwaukee County except the city of Milwaukee.
It's really interesting. As to issue number two, which is the investment of surplus resources of the county, it's basically hyper-regulated under state statute.
Yes.
So it's not like there's some like deep investor acumen that you have to
exactly.
do that.
No, I've done the same exact thing when I served in the Clerk of Circuit Court's office, because statutorily the Clerk of Circuit Court has to invest certain funds as well. And so we did the exact same thing. And as long as you work appropriately with the banks that you partner with, find the appropriate rates, I mean, really any competent public administrators should be able to navigate that process pretty well.
Yes. Basically, you attach the statute to the RFP for the bank that you partner with and tell them to follow that, which, and no, to be pretty plain spoken about it, the state statutes boil down to invest in U.S. T-bills. It's like as safe as you can possibly get because, again, it's cash flow management in a way. Of course, the property tax issue and administration of delinquent property taxes and helping people get on payment plans and deal with all that, so critical. It's interesting to me that the county, as well as the city, just went through this huge push that culminated this past summer in the adoption of the sales tax. Excuse me, both at the city level and the county level, amid some controversy. But the bottom line for most of the elected officials that voted for the sales tax is that both the county and the city more so than the county, was in this really intense fiscal pinch. In other words, we were approaching, so much had been cut in both of the governments, so much reduction in workforce, so that lots of RIF. We had gone at the county from upwards of, I think at its peak, nearly 12,000 employees down to less than 4,000 full-time employees. Lots of benefit reductions, pension reform that had been done to reverse the pension scandal brought on by Tom Amend, and that Walker, our former governor and former county executive, largely did nothing to fix at all, though he ran on it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of cost-cutting measures. It seems really ironic to me, and again, given the function of the treasurer's office to collect property taxes and part of that role, that we find ourselves in an odd moment because you and I know my colleague Jane Matinera has covered on her show, Matinera on Air, which runs every day from 10 to 12 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network, that the treasurer is out there with the clerk of Milwaukee County and the register of deeds for Milwaukee County, apparently trying to drum up support for a 36% salary increase, which just to me seems insane, given the fact that we just went to taxpayers and said, trust us, we're going to increase your taxes, but we'll spend it wisely to keep the county from falling into fiscally hard times again. These raises, make no mistake, folks. These folks make good money to begin with, $91,000 a year for all three offices. A 36% salary raise over the next few years will end up costing the county and its taxpayers $250,000. Todd, I know you've got some particular views on this. What say you about this 36% salary increase?
Well, I think it's completely unwarranted, and I commend County Executive David Crowley for vetoing the county board resolution that would have advanced that 36% salary increase for these positions. One thing I would just note is I think the proposal initiated as legislative action, so I don't know that my opponent has taken any stance either way in regard to this matter. So I don't want to take any shot directly at him on that matter. But what I would just say is, speaking as a candidate, there is no way in good conscience that at a time where Milwaukee County's tax rates have increased, as you mentioned, Maggie, to fund critical public services, there's just still no way that in good conscience I could go in there and serve as county treasurer and accept anything above the current $91,000 salary for that position. It's appropriate. The treasurer supervises 9 employees, a deputy treasurer who's a trained accounting manager, an accounting supervisor, another kind of senior accounting position, and then accounting assistants and a real property analysts who perform much of the day-to-day functions of that office. For the duties performed by the elected treasurer, there is no justification in my mind for that salary to go up to $124,000 over the next 4 years, as the proposal that was ultimately vetoed would have seen take effect. So it's not something that I think is appropriate. When we even look at just median household incomes in Milwaukee County, they're under $60,000 annually. So how should an elected official be comfortable accepting that kind of massive raise leading such a small office? I think not.
Well, and just a recap, Ted, you've pledged publicly, if the raise actually goes through, to effectively either write a check back to the county if you're to win the treasurer's seat, or to figure out some way to decline that salary increase. You've publicly committed to that, right?
Exactly. And I will do exactly that. I'm going to seek a fund transfer resolution through the county board that would deduct those funds and repurpose them to actual, you know, direct constituent service. So, for instance, helping navigate the property tax collection process, or just returning the funds to the general fund of the county. And if that's impossible, I would just cut the county a check every 2 weeks and return the surplus funds.
There you go. And I wanted to emphasize this point. The treasurer's office has 10 people. There are 3 managers in addition to the treasurer. I'm sorry, what? A 36? I don't understand how a 36% raise works. If you've got 3 managers working for you and they're managing the other 6 people, first of all, I don't know any manager. What is it? 2 people per manager? What? This is what makes people ticked off, right? Like, this is what gets under people's skin in government. And here's fundamentally, I have a real issue with the raises because of this simple fact. There is no performance evaluation. There is no accountability for how well any of these people are performing their job. They can come and go. There's no required minimum hours. They can work 2 hours a week. And in fact, as Urban Milwaukee's Bruce Murphy pointed out in an article on this topic, numerous different former office holders of the treasurer's office or the register of deeds have pointed out that these jobs take no time to do. Prior county boards have, in fact, tried to lobby to eliminate the positions entirely or have them combined into a single administrative function. So it strikes me as incredibly ballsy for these 3 people, and not all of them, but I have been told that at least 2 of these individuals are actively lobbying for their own raise, which, if that is true, is a violation of the county's ethics code, because you can't use your government position to benefit yourself personally. So if what I've been told is true, 2 of these individuals are actively violating the ethics code. Regardless of that question, not a single one of them gets a performance evaluation. Not a single one of them have ever asked for what is referred to as a 360-degree evaluation, where the employees and people that you work for you evaluate anonymously your performance, or where you go to your peers and the stakeholders that you serve and ask them to review your performance. I don't think a single one of them have done that. So you've not ever had a job review. You are not required to work any hours a day, let alone 8 hours a day. No one monitors your comings and goings. And for all intents and purposes, as we've discussed on this show, it's very difficult for regular people to know if these folks are doing a good job. And in the midst of all of that opacity, and by that I mean the absence of transparency, no transparency, no accountability, this is when you decide to give a 36% raise? I just don't understand it. It boggles the mind. And I've heard that they're claiming that ordinance requires this raise. I've read the ordinances. I used to interpret them all the time for Milwaukee County. I'm a damn good lawyer. I've read the ordinances that they're referring to. The ordinances do not require a raise for any 3 of these positions. The ordinance simply says you're a constitutional officer, you're a department head, and you should be compensated accordingly. That is a matter of judgment. My judgment is it ain't worth a 36% raise. If you did a side-by-side credential comparison between the credentials and experience of each of the current incumbents in those offices to other cabinet-level leadership at Milwaukee County and other subject matter experts, they would not have the same credentialing. They don't stack up on equal footing to most other of the subject matter experts that work in the county. I don't get it. So I too applaud the county executive's veto of those raises. I will also note this. The original proposal suggested a 10% raise. I think that may be well justifiable. It's not my job to comment on something that I think is within the margin. 10% I can potentially see. 36% is insane. And that increase above the originally proposed 10% was put forward by a supervisor who is not running for re-election. So I don't, you live in Rhinelander. If the guy that ain't running for re-election is like, hey, give my buddies here a huge, enormous raise while I walk out the door, I don't care. You, Rhinelander, Apostle Islands, I don't care where you live, Wausau, that would raise some eyebrows. The guy that's walking out the door is the one that's like, oh, give my buddies the huge raise. Think we call that cronyism, Ted? I don't know.
I mean, it really is kind of ludicrous. And that's where, at the end of the day, I think what all of this highlights is that there just needs to be a different ethos in terms of the kind of leadership that's provided in an office like the Office of Treasurer. Because really, that's a position that's entrusted with managing county revenue. And that's a position where we should be able to look to the incumbent to step forward and provide leadership and say, hey, this is ridiculous. This is not something I'm going to accept. This is something I'm going to oppose. And that's the kind of approach that I'm willing to bring to the table and that I'm pledging to. But on top of that, that's why we need working leadership in offices like this. That's why something that I bring to the table, in addition to that sort of commitment to government transparency and to being really wise and appropriate with how we spend the taxpayers' dollars, something else, again, is just that practical hands-on experience. My background is not in serving in one elected office after the next. My background is getting that work done for our community. And even where, you know, for example, right, there's every incumbent treasurer is going to be able to point to their investment work. And sure, maybe that may not be something that, you know, I have done myself, but I've invested county public funds in the past. I've managed county accounting and fiscal operations, and I'm able to bring those experiences to the table and drive really reform and innovation that we need to see right now.
Ted, will you come back sometime and talk more wonk with me?
I certainly will. This was a pleasure, Maggie. So thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. Great to see you, Ted. That's Ted Chisholm, candidate this fall for Milwaukee County Treasurer. I'm Maggie Dawn. I've got some closing thoughts for the day after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. It is the last segment of the day here on the Maggie Dawn Show. If you'd like to get in on the action, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. The phone and text lines are open. Carmella giving me and Anya a shout out. Carmella has to say that, like your guest Ted, I believe that hands-on experience can more than make up for the lack of a college degree, especially when someone has already done the job in some form already. Amen to that. Carmella also agrees that the presidential debate's not worth much of our time. Both political parties fail to follow the rules set prior to the debate, but the absolute worst offender in rule violation in debates is Donald Trump. No one fact checks him. No one fact checks him. If they attempt to do so, he just bullies and talks over everyone. I say, cut the mic off already. I couldn't agree with you more, Carmella. What is the purpose of a debate if nobody follows any of the rules? That's just baloney and bloviating. Donald Trump's stock and trade. I haven't gone deep on Trump in a while. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. I'm just going to say that. I have been following some of the activities and things that he's been saying over the Easter weekend. Happy Passover, happy Easter, happy Ramadan. Isn't it interesting we have this confluence of three of the world's major religions?
Yeah. Passover hasn't started yet, but we're going to run up into a period of time quick where it has. And it's like, it's all starting at the, because Easter is connected to when Passover was and subsequently Ramadan. So yeah, it's all in one. Yeah.
Yeah. Which from a very Carl Jungian and Joseph Campbell perspective, you know, we've got more in common than many of our leaders would otherwise indicate. I was just joined this past 30 or so minutes by Milwaukee County Treasurer candidate Ted Chisholm. He's running against a longtime political elected official, guy by the name of David Cullen. I wanted to point this out. David Cullen, really nice guy. I got no beef with Dave. I know him personally. Nice man. But I wanted to point this little bit of historical irony out. When Dave Cullen was on the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, he was one of the supervisors that objected to raises for department heads within the then county executive's administration. Odd, isn't it? Just saying. Little weird. Let me extrapolate. What does all of this mean? We've been talking about these city of Milwaukee technical elected officials, these technical elected officials at Milwaukee County. Here's my big picture takeaway. This is the part that you don't want to miss. Shame on you, Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Shame on you, Democratic Party of Milwaukee County. Because here's what's not happening. You're not minding the store. You're not ensuring that we're putting the best possible candidates forward. You're not policing your own ranks. That is a huge problem. If you want to claim the high road, then we have to do in our own house, if you're a Democrat or if you generally left lean, if you're a centrist and you just want government to work well for most of us most of the time, then what you got to demand of the political parties, because that's the apparatus that we've got right now, folks, is that they demand a ton from the candidates that run under their mantle. Republicans have abandoned any pretext, any hat tip at vetting candidates. It's the party of crazy. You believe in less government, lower taxes, less regulation. That's all fine. The GOP has nothing to do with that anymore. Democrats must hold ourselves to the standards that we criticize Republicans about. And what I have been seeing is a failure of Democratic parties, state and local, in this state especially, and in this county especially, to hammer on the candidates to demand better. Because if they were doing that, they would tell Tierman Spencer to step down. Because you're doing more harm. You're harming the party. You're harming the city. That ain't good. They'd be telling the Register of Deeds, the county treasurer, and the county clerk to stand down. 36% raises after asking Milwaukee County taxpayers and city of Milwaukee residents to pay more in sales tax ain't a good look. Don't be a big spending Democrat if you don't want to be criticized for being a big spending Democrat. I give all the credit to David Crowley, a Democrat that actually says no to big spending Democrats. Seems to me he's one of the only adults in the room. Reasonable, reliable, responsible. Not handing out cookies and party favors to your cronies in the government. That nobody wants that. So we got to look within and look into the mirror and hold ourselves accountable. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin and Milwaukee County Democratic Party, they don't have a pipeline. They're not helping young people find their way into elected office or their ways to candidacy. In a really deeply meaningful way. They're not helping prepare the next generation of leaders. They're just seeing who can fundraise, who's getting the money in the door. They're not helping people with real world experience enter into the political system as candidates. That's a problem. And one of the most egregious failures of the party is the fact that they haven't stepped up to criticize one of the candidates for Milwaukee County Comptroller. I told you yesterday, I cast my vote this morning for Milwaukee County Comptroller candidate Liz Sumner because her opponent, doesn't know what a conflict of interest is, doesn't know how to take the advice of experts, and has a resume and background that I find to be impenetrable and completely incapable of any sort of meaningful vetting. So I'll say to anybody who's centrist, just wants government to work, folks that are Democrats, let's demand more of our candidates, shall we? Let's demand more of our elected officials. Because if you're ready to cast a stone at the other party and criticize Republicans, your house better be in order. And what I see oftentimes is disorder in the Democratic Party. We don't have to be perfect. We got to be better, and we got to demand better every single day. Get out there and vote, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but always remember, it is better when we stand together. That's it for this episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. Back with more tomorrow.